My guest at this time is former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. He is now president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. He was also the Republican nominee for governor of Virginia in 2013. He joins me now to assess how things went so well for the Democrats and so poorly for Republicans in the Old Dominion on Tuesday as Democrats swept the three statewide races and may well have won control of the state House of Delegates, which Republicans had controlled 66-34 this past session. And Ken, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Well,
this were better news.
Well, certainly for conservatives, it's a tough day. But in some ways, this must feel like a bad mirror image of 8 years ago when you were running for attorney general and Republicans swept the three statewide races just a few months into President Obama's first term. And there were good results in the state legislature as well. So when you look at what happened yesterday in Virginia, we're hearing a lot of different explanations about why Ralph Northam not only beat Ed Gillespie, but beat him by 9 points. Very few were expecting a margin of that size. Some say it's resistance to Trump, and the Democrats got their vote out really under those auspices. Some said Ed Gillespie was too cozy with Trump. Trump says Ed Gillespie wasn't cozy enough with Trump. Some say it's changing demographics in Virginia. What best explains what happened?
Yeah, I mean, for people who know Virginia, I don't actually think it's that complicated. On the Democrat side, it is correct to say that Trump motivated their most left-wing voters. We have about 2,500 precincts in Virginia. If you look at Hillary Clinton's top 50 precincts in 2016, the voter turnout there only went up about 1% from the last election. If you look at Bernie Sanders' top 50 precincts, the voter turnout exploded almost 20%. So it wasn't just that more Democrats showed up. It is what kind of Democrats showed up. And they are dramatically left-wing Democrats. You can predict how they voted. So that was the motivator, and it bumped turnout up on the Democrat side. So on the Republican side, what didn't happen is a better way to phrase it, is that Republicans are demoralized and dispirited at the complete failure of Republicans to keep their promises in Washington. I mean, ordinary Republican voters can remember, they haven't delivered on anything. And most notably Obamacare, but you know, you're hearing what amounts to a muddling debate over the tax bill. And yes, Neil Gorsuch is on the Supreme Court. And I hate to say this, but that was a long time ago. And since then, there have hardly been any judicial nominations put through. The Republican Senate's working 2.5-day weeks. And so on the Republican side, that strategic factor kept the Republicans from being able to motivate their voters in the way the Democrats were motivating theirs, or to the degree that. You know, you're never going to keep the left from being upset about Donald Trump and the Republicans. They're going to come, right? So the way to deal with it is to turn yours out. And unless you can deliver for them victories when you have both houses in the presidency, they will wonder what's the point, and that's what happened yesterday. Now, I would add one tactical item. The Democrats did a very good job of boosting the turnout of younger voters dramatically compared to historical norms in these races, and they won them. I will note that 4 years ago, as the gubernatorial candidate, I won voters under 25 by 6 points. So not only did we turn them out, we gave them a reason to vote for me. And while I think there was a youth turnout effort for the Republican ticket led by Ed Gillespie, I don't really feel like they had the kind of libertarian conservative issues to motivate that voter portion of the voter base to vote for Republicans like they did 4 years ago.
Two quick follow-ups on a couple of points that you made there, Ken. First of all, let's talk about what you just said about Republican voters being dispirited, because some folks might be listening to our conversation and thinking, well, okay, they're not happy with the Republicans in Washington, but none of the Republicans in Washington were on the ballot yesterday. These are state lawmakers and for statewide offices.
Right.
But we saw it in 2009. We see it this year. It doesn't necessarily work that way, especially in Virginia, where so much of the political discussion is dominated by what happens right across the river.
Yeah, so I gave you two strategic drivers for the outcome yesterday, one on the Dem side, one on the Republican side, and one tactical, the young voter turnout. There is one year-to-year, decades really, strategic change that has continues to affect Virginia, and it is bipartisan. The astonishing growth of the federal government over the last two decades has led to a massive importation of pro-government voters into Northern Virginia. Somebody's got to run that growing Leviathan, right? And they don't move to Maryland for the last 35 years. They move to Virginia because the taxes are lower, quality of life is higher. But they vote like where they come from, New York, California, Illinois, Massachusetts. And the Northern Virginia portion of the state turns out at the highest level and is the most liberal and pro-big government. And that's been getting worse and worse and worse. That's a long-term trend. You might hear people say demographics in Virginia, but what it really is the growth of the swamp. I mean, Northern Virginia is home of the swamp. It's where government lives in Virginia. And that has been killing us for a long time. And the reality in these odd-year elections is that strong national winds blow Republican state elections. We are on the border of D.C. It's not like we're Kansas or Iowa or somewhere far away where you read about it in the paper, you don't live it. A quarter of our state lives this news. And it changes the dynamic in Virginia, makes it very unique relative to other states in how all of this affects our elections. So that's a great point you make, Greg.
And following up on the point you made about the Bernie voters really coming out in force here in 2017, it also speaks to the candidates in a lot of these delegate races that won on the Democratic side. It's not like they found some red state Democrats here who think maybe a little more government would be good, but are conservative on guns and abortion and that sort of thing. You've got an avowed socialist. You've got a transgender.
Oh, yeah,
my delegate, who is a strong conservative, lost to a woman who was head of the local national organization for women chapter. So you're not they're not running people trying to paint them as moderate. They're running hardcore liberals and they're winning.
Well, at the top of the ticket, they nominated the guy, the Democrats, that they felt was more centrist. And that was considered, you know, a strike against him by a large part of the Democrat base. But down ticket, you're right. I mean, in Northern Virginia, they were transgender, self-declared socialists. I mean, these are wild-eyed, radical lefties. You know, Antifa is very happy with the outcome with some of these people. But let's also be clear, people in those districts weren't electing a socialist because somehow the city of Manassas is here in Prince William County has suddenly turned socialist. It was simply those were the down-ballot candidates at a time when the anger wave on the left carried them over the finish line. That's what happened there, is that good candidates down-ballot were not in a position to resist the environmental wave that they were in, the negative one from the Democrats, and then the lack of wave of momentum coming from Republican accomplishment. I mean, imagine how this would be different if 5 weeks ago Obamacare had been repealed instead of having some watered-down, mealy-mouthed bill go down anyway. Would Ed Gillespie have made up 9.5-point difference? No. But down ballot, would your delegate have lost? Like that? Probably not. Would mine? Probably not. We wouldn't be looking at the possibility of the Republicans losing the House of Delegates with a, 30-seat swing, something like that. That would not have happened down ballot if we'd had reasons to motivate the Republican base to come that were positive to counter the negative motivation on the left.
We're talking with Ken Cuccinelli. And Ken, of course, we're now a year away from the midterm elections, and folks on the left are rubbing their hands together and licking their chops, thinking the same thing's going to happen and give the Democrats perhaps control of the House. And if things break almost perfectly, they'd have to get back the Senate, that we're going to see a repeat of this next year. Republicans are saying you can't extrapolate one state into the rest of the country. So what is the takeaway from election night 2017 for the midterms, and what's your advice for Republicans and conservatives over the next 12 months?
Yeah, you know, everything is not relative, but some things are. The same environmentals that we saw in Virginia, if they existed in Pennsylvania, would be bad. They wouldn't be as bad in Pennsylvania because of the government element. Wouldn't have been played as big a role there, like I said earlier. But look, the lesson here is the left, especially the Bernie left, is going to be flaming mad, and they're going to come out to vote against whatever Republican is on the ballot everywhere, whether it's Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, or Judge Roy Moore, you know, the whole spectrum. They are coming, folks. And so the real question for us is, are we going to be in a position like we were in Virginia of unilateral disarmament? And by that, I mean where we have nothing to motivate our side. They have something to motivate their side, and it isn't going away. Unfortunately, for America, what this is going to lead Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to do is simply be even more obstructionist, because lack of accomplishment is the Republicans' Achilles heel. That's what killed us in Virginia yesterday, is the complete failure of Republicans to keep their promises and to respect and honor the grassroots by doing what they told us they would do.
We'll certainly be watching, and I know you'll
One quick thing, Greg.
Yeah.
That can be fixed. Pass Obamacare repeal. Not a watered-down version. The real deal. Pass a real tax cut bill. Not some mealy-mouth thing that there's no reason to get excited about. They can fix this. And one result of yesterday will be to put a lot more pressure on congressional Republicans to perform.
Well, that is certainly true, because as you said earlier, lack of accomplishment when you control the House, the Senate, and the White House is not something your base is going to be very tolerant of. Ken, as always, great to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Ken Cuccinelli, former Virginia Attorney General. He was the 2013 Republican nominee for governor in the Commonwealth, and he is the president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.